So you got to be ready in your Bibles. You got to be ready with your outlines. Pull those out. That's going to help you follow along and cover the ground we're going to look at. I'm going to look at a lot of God's Word this morning to really encourage us on the spiritual discernment God wants us to have and what's the obstacles to it. So get your Bibles open. Pull out your bulletins. Follow along. 1 Thessalonians 5. If you'll notice at the top of your outline there, the topic for this morning is spiritual discernment. We'll look at that next week also. We looked at some of it last week, a little bit of it. Because last week we were concluding our look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 through 22, the last major point of the Apostle Paul that he gave us concerning our relationship with God. You guys remember that. That's what it was, is we're to be discerning. So in our relationship with God, we're to have constant joy, be constant thankfulness, right? We're in constant communication with God. We're not to quench the work of the Holy Spirit in our life, or not to look down on or despise the Word of God. We're to honor God's Word. And then he said, we need to be discerning in this world. We need to have some discernment. And that's what he said in verse 21 and 22. He said, but examine everything carefully, hold fast to which is good, abstain from every form of evil. Really, it's a call to discernment, isn't it? God calls us in his Word in many, many places. You need to be discerning. He calls us to discern. To be able to distinguish, to be able to judge. Not everything's true, not everything's right, not everything's good for you, not everything. And like what we were looking at today, or even in self-confrontation, it may be good, but for you it not may be the thing that God has for you. And we have to discern that. We are to examine everything, he said. Hold fast, hold heartily, embrace the good. That's what's inherently good, what is right, genuine, and true. And we're to hold ourselves away from, abstain from every form, every appearance, every shape of what is wrong, sin, false, or evil. So we need to be discerning. And in many, many places in Scripture, God's Word calls us to have discernment. I read it this morning, like in our opening Scripture reading, David asked God to look at his life and to see if there's any hurtful way in him. Because you guess what? You can't even be discerning without the Lord at work in your life. You can't have spiritual discernment without God and relationship. Because he's going to bring up the Word of God, the truth of his Word. He's going to show it in your heart. He's going to show you who you are. It's like we're learning in Matthew 7, we just can't, you know, we're to judge, but we got to look at our own life before we can help somebody else. And so we're going to have to ask God from his Word to look at our life, examine us, help us, lead us. Is there any hurtful way of living or thinking or going in my life, David asked. Is there any in yours? You can ask your wife or your spouse, they may know. You can ask your children, you may ask your friends, but guess what? Ask God. Because what does he not know? He knows everything. And if you really want to live for the Lord, if you really want to have discernment, ask God if there's things in your life that he wants to deal with. And that's what David was saying. And he asked God to lead him in the everlasting way. So David sought God to show him the way that's everlasting, that God desires for you, for me, for him. And you know where you find that everlasting way? You find it in the Word of God, in his truth. That's where you find it. That's the only place it is. And so that's why we want to be discerning. It's a call for discernment. And that's where we find it, to discern what is true and false, right and wrong. It's in God's Word. God knows us, knows you, knows me. He knows how to lead us through this, through his Word, understood and applied in our life. Don't you think he does? He knows everything. I'm sure he does. He's not up to man's wisdom. He doesn't need your intuition. He doesn't need secular philosophies. He doesn't need man's tradition. He doesn't need ritualistic things. He doesn't need any of that. He's got his Word. His revelation of himself, of what's true, and if you dig into it and look into it, God can just speak to your life from the Word of God, tell you exactly where you're at. Amen? We have to have discernment. We have to have discernment. There's some reasons why we need to battle for this, and we're going to look at it. We are to have spiritual discernment on what is true and how God leads us by his truth, to know truth from the false. Like last week, where we saw in 1 John 4:1, the Apostle John said this, told us to examine what's being taught as God's truth. Examine it. Examine the teachers. That's what he said. Because many false teachers have been in the world, and they're going to keep coming in the world, and they're going to keep coming saying, God said this when God didn't say it. And he said, you need to examine it. You got to look at it. You got to discernment. For there's many things taught falsely. So examine what's being taught. Turn your Bibles to Romans 12. Let me just show you a couple of places in Scripture from the Word of God where we are called to discern, to have spiritual discernment, places you probably didn't recognize before, but it's all over Scripture. Believers in Christ, those that follow the Lord, those that have given new life, those that are God is called to live for him. You have to have spiritual discernment. You have biblical discernment. He's called us to do it. Romans 12, 1 through 3. Listen to what the Apostle Paul wrote. He said, "Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect." Verse 3, because through the grace given me, Paul says, "I say to everyone among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment as God has allotted to each measure of faith." Thank you, Craig. In your prayer, we need to not think highly of ourselves. There needs to be no pride. We need to be in humility and not think that we're something when we're nothing. Because if you think you're something, you are not going to have, what's the text say? Sound judgment. You're going to look at the world as according to you. It's a drama being written. The world is a drama being written. I am the lead actor, and I'm getting the Golden Globe Award. Because I view everything in the world, my discernment is that, man, here I am, I'm center stage. Christ is center stage. God is center stage. We are just peons in the play. How's that sound? See, you have to have discernment, right? If you're going to have discernment, you got to have the right thinking. You have to have the thinking what this is about. This is what he's talking about. Listen to what Paul said in this text. Here's what he said. So we daily surrender our lives to Christ. We walk in humility so we don't think too highly of ourselves, so we can have sound judgment. We renew our minds because the way you were thinking before salvation, you need to let go of. You need God to teach you how to think. And you renew it by the truth of God's word, not by anything else, shaping us. God transforms us to be Christ-like, to live Christ-like lives. And we're rejecting the world's way, man's way of living, so that we would approve or discern God's perfect will for the way we live. It's a call to discernment, isn't it? You got to evaluate your life. Are you surrendering your life to Christ? Are you letting him shape the way you think for the word of God? Are you? Yes or no? Discern. You can say, no, I'm not. Then your discernment is, no, I'm not following the Lord. And I'm not going to approve or discern what the perfect will of God is. I'm not going to see it. I'm not going to know it. I'm going to go with my own thinking. I'm not going to be transformed. And the world is going to shape the way I live. There you go. That's what he just said. That's God's word. It's a call to discernment. That's similar to what we learned from Ephesians 5 last week. When we dug into that, Ephesians 5, 6 through 11, here's the word of God says this. Paul writes, he said, "Don't be deceived by empty words of false teachers. They say sin, you can sin and keep sinning and have sin and run amok in your life. You don't have to deal with your sin to be saved. Don't have to deal with your sin to be to have salvation or to be a believer." It says, don't be partakers with them. Verse 8 through 10 says, "For you were formerly you were darkness." They're in darkness. But now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. We looked at that. You're trying to learn. You're trying to discern. You guys all got that down perfect, what it looks like to live for the Lord? You try to discern it. Are you going with man's wisdom, what feels good? Are you going with this is serving the Lord, it gives me what I want? Man is successful in the world. And I mean, what are you holding up against? How are you discerning? How are you trying to learn what is living for the Lord? What's pleasing the Lord? So verse 7, he says, "Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness." So you'd have to have discernment. What are the deeds of darkness? Man's wisdom, man's way, man's theology, self-gratification. I can give you a few. You have that discernment? And it says, instead, even expose them. The first place that God exposes them is in your own life. You can see them in other people's lives. You can see it in the world. You can see, wow, look at that's darkness. That's darkness. God says, look at your own heart. That's where he wants to expose it first. So you'll change, so you grow. Turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. I'm just digging into just a call for discernment. When I went through this, I wrote, I don't know, 27, 28 of them down. I decided to cover about 5 today. Look at Philippians with me. Look at the word of God. A call for discernment. We are called to discern. Look at Philippians with me. Chapter 1, verse 9 to 10. Are you with me? You staying with me? Have I lost anybody to this morning yet? You're just like, oh, I checked out. He's just kind of going off on what it looks like to have spiritual discernment. And, you know, my discernment is I'm tired, hungry, and I'm going to watch something on my phone right now. Philippians 1, 9 through 10. This is the word of God. This is God speaking to our life. Have some discernment. Call to discern. Look what he says. Paul says this, "And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and all discernment." Did you hear what he said? He says, "I pray, I ask, that we would all have more and more love and real knowledge and all discernment." You know what real knowledge is? Is it the true knowledge of God, the true knowledge of his word, and real knowledge, the knowledge of God's word, what it says to love, what it looks like to love. We want to have more and more love in our life, but we want to have it according to real knowledge. Ask any parent how many different ways you got to love them little ones. You got to make a discernment, a choice. Do they need this right now or this? Each of them are love, aren't they? Aren't they with the word of God? How you love? One would be discipline, correct. One would be teach, instruct. One would be you have mercy and grace. What does love look like? Which one do you do, Dad? Lord, give me some discernment. Which one do you want me in this life on how to love them? I need real discernment. I need to know what real true love is. And I know I need to know what real true love isn't. I was talking to Pastor Brent. He was talking about missionaries, and they go out and they do water and they do food and all that kind of stuff. They don't share Christ with them all. Not at all. And they're Christians, and they say, "Christians, give us money. We want to go support people in the world, give them food and water. They don't have any." That's a loving thing to do. That's a caring thing to do, but they don't tell them about Jesus Christ. The first thing I said is, wow, they have no discernment what it looks like to love someone. Because, yes, you can give them more food and water, but they know no Christ, never heard the gospel. They're going to go eternally in hell, and what you think is, give us your money so we can give them water and food. We won't tell them Christ. You don't have any discernment of what it looks like to really love by the truth of God's word. Amen? Yes, we can help people out. Yes, help your neighbor out. Hey, yes, give somebody, buy them a sandwich. That's loving, but have some discernment what God wants you to share with him about the hope of Christ. Verse 11, he says, "Have that so that you may approve the things that are excellent in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ Jesus." It's so you'll approve or discern the things that are excellent of the way we live and the way we love. It's called a discernment. It's all through the New Testament epistles. It's everywhere in the Bible. We need God to show us and guide us and lead us, and he only does it by his truth. Listen, if you're going to know how to walk as children of light, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord, even exposing the wrong way of you and others, Ephesians 5, if you're going to distinguish what is the false teaching apart from what is the true teaching of God's word, 1 John 4, 1, if you're going to approve or prove what is the complete good will of God, if you're going to renew your mind and not be conformed and shaped by the world, if you are going to know the things that are excellent in the way of you, especially in how you love, if you're going to see and understand God's leading of you in an everlasting way, Psalm 139, if you're going to disciple your children, if you are going to encourage your spouse or anyone else in their walk with the Lord, if you're going to join in on Jesus and the building of his church through salvation and sanctification, if you're going to do any of these things, plus many, many more, you have to have spiritual discernment. Because it isn't any way we want to do it, any way we think it should be done. It's just whatever feels good for me. It's just how I want to get it. It's just up to me. It's all of that. No, God's definitive in his word. And you have to have spiritual discernment what it looks like to do that. Do not disciple your kids in Christ with just any old thing. Do it with the truth of God's word. Do not love your wife the way you want to. Love them the way the Bible tells you to. And you have to have discernment. That's not the way God said to do it. God said to do it this way. Well, I don't like the way God said to do it. I want to do it my way. And God loves me and he'll let me do it my way. Yeah, he'll let you. Sow to the flesh, you're going to reap corruption by the word of God. See what he's talking about? See why we need to talk about spiritual discernment? We just can't willy-nilly just live this life. And yeah, the discernment is, you know, it's okay this way, that way. It's not. There's one way to salvation through faith and repentance in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's one way. It's not any way. It's not the way people want it to be. It's not people that God would be loving and not make it that, yeah, no, God is loving, and here's the true love of God. if you don't repent of your sin and embrace Jesus as Lord and Savior, you are not saved. You'll spend eternity in hell. And that's loving. Because it's the truth. It's the truth. The most unloving thing to do to anybody is tell them not the truth. Pastor, I really respect, he was talking about just with our transgender world and all of that. And he said the most hateful thing you can do to a human being is let them believe they are something other than what God created them to be. Well, why would we want to let any of us believe the truth of God's word when it's not the truth of God's word? That's not loving. That's not loving at all. Oh, well, you know, here's our world today philosophically. Well, you can't figure out what's true. Nobody knows what's true. That's not true. Because we got God, and God gives us spiritual discernment. He tells us what's true. And if it's about Him, we'll find His truth. God's truth directs our lives. You have to be able to judge what is true, what is false. You're to hold fast to what is true, abstain from what is false, or even half-truths. You are called to be discerning. Look at your outline. For God's truth is what saves and what sanctifies. Jesus said in John 8, listen to what he said, speaking to the people that believed in him, the Jews. It says, so Jesus was saying to those, John 8, 31 and 32, who had believed in him, if you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. You have to continue on in the truth of God's word, not what you make it up to be. That's not continuing in the word of Christ. It's not. That's just to discern that. Just have that. If you continue on in something that's not God's word, it's not in his word. And what did he say? And then you'll know the truth, and truth set you free. You won't know the truth because it's not the truth. It's not his word. And you won't be set free from the things you got going in your life. First and foremost, from being unsaved, being condemned before God. And secondly, you won't be set free from the things that hinder you in the life that you have. Error doesn't help a bit. And the loving thing that God said and did and said, no, error doesn't help a bit. It doesn't. We don't make it up as we go. We have to discern what his word says. John 17, 17 says, Jesus prayed to the Father, Father, sanctify them in thy truth. Your word is truth. No sanctification apart from the truth. You get that? Nobody becomes Christ-like in a false teaching. Nobody. Your kids aren't going to become more Christ-like. You teach them something that you believe God's word said and the way it is and what's about, and it's not. It doesn't happen. According to the word of God, this is how this goes. And the truth of God's word is what the Lord's church supports, nothing else. Christ's church supports nothing else than the truth. And only the truth. Nothing but the truth. So help us God, right? Right? Paul wrote in 1 Timothy 3, writing to Timothy. Well, listen to what he said in chapter 3, verse 14 and 15. He says, I'm writing these things to you, Timothy, hoping to come to you before long, but in case I'm delayed, I write so that you will know how one ought to conduct themselves in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and support of the truth. Did you hear what he said? How are we to conduct ourselves? It's by the truth of God's word, as God's household, as God's children, as God's church. He says we're to hold up and be pillars of what God's truth is. You know, we really don't decide. I really don't decide. You don't either what God's truth is. God decided a long time ago. It's our responsibility to understand it, learn it, and apply it. He's already defined it. He's already determined what the truth is. And the Lord's church just supports it. It's just a pillar for it. We hold it up. That's it. And I want you to get this. We hold it up. It's above our head. We hold it up. Listen, we do not sit in judgment of God's word. God's word sits in judgment of us. And it's our responsibility to ask God to have discernment, to show us, to teach us, to guide us. What does it say? What does it mean? How does it apply? And let me hold that up for you, God. Let me hold that up above my head. The Lord's church supports what God has said. It doesn't decide it. It never has. It tries to. It hasn't. See, so the truth is what the Lord's church supports. Paul said in Ephesians 4, verse 11 and following, he said, all of us are to be equipped to the building up of the body of Christ. Only truth does that. You know that, right? Building up, salvation, sanctification. And listen to what he said in verse 13. So we're all to be equipped to the building up of the body of Christ. All of us are. Verse 13. Until we all attain the unity of the faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God, to the mature man, to the measure of stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. Do you get that, what he's saying there? True unity only comes from doctrinal unity. It only comes from unity in the truth. It doesn't come from our love, from our care, from our consideration, from our Christ-like lives. All true unity comes. This is what he says. We're all to be equipped to building up, equipped with the truth until we attain the unity of the faith. That only comes through doctrinal unity, to the knowledge of the Son of God. That only comes through the Word of God, God's truth. You only come to a knowledge of the true Son of God and who he is, why he came, what he did, what he did in your life from right here, understood correctly, interpreted correctly. That's the only place you get it. Doesn't matter what man says. Doesn't matter what that church says. Doesn't matter what that book says. It's right here, in here. We're to understand it. And maturing in Christ is only by God's truth lived. Then listen to what he says as the result is. Listen to what he says. Verse 14. As a result, we are no longer to be children tossed here and there by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men and by the craftiness and deceitful scheming. Listen, the world, deceitful scheming, the enemy crafty, screaming. It's wrong doctrine. It's wind of doctrine. It's waves. It's thrown around the children of God. It's thrown them around. But if we will focus in on being equipped to teach the truth and bring in the unity from doctrinal unity, bringing in the truth of Christ into our lives by the Word of God and maturing ourselves in Christ by the truth of what God says, as a result, we'll quit getting thrown around by what the enemy and what Satan and what the false tell us that this is about. Did you hear what he just said? That's the world you live in now, okay? This is your heart and mind and you struggle with. This is what he's talking about. So what are we be doing? So we don't want to be tossed around waves, carried about by every wind of doctrine. Verse 15, but speak the truth in love. We are to grow up in all aspects into him. That's becoming Christ-like. Let me tell you something. Error or false teaching spoken in love grows up no one. Grows up no one to be like Christ. Grows them to be selfish, to think this world's about them, that God said this and God said that and promised this. So next, God's truth is what we are to teach. Turn your Bibles to 2 Timothy. We all know this passage, but turn your Bibles there. Chapter 3, verse 16 and following. So God's truth is only what we teach. Truth is taught. That's what we teach. We don't teach anything else. We teach the truth of God's Word. Before you look at that, 2 Timothy, listen to what Paul said to all the elders, pastors, and teachers. You guys here today, listen to me. What he said in Titus 1:9, he said, you are to be holding fast the faithful word which is in accordance with the teaching. What's that? The teaching of God's word. That's God's truth. We're to hold fast faithfully the faithful word so that you will be able both to exhort in sound doctrine. We are to exhort in sound doctrine. That's what we're called to do. And it says, and refute those who contradict. We're to do that. We have to. We're required to. We're called to. We're to have discernment. No, that's not right. That's not true. That's not the truth of God's word. Somebody has to do it. God's called the leadership of the church to do it. He extends that in 2 Timothy 3. Look at this. He teaches it a little deeper. Paul expands on this. Look what he says. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. So that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. Now just take that right there. So the Word of God, God, all Scripture, God breathed. He wrote it through authors. He wrote it. That's what breathed, inspired means. And he wrote it, and it's the truth of God. It's the doctrine of God. It's the revelation of God. He said it's profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that you, that me, that all of us may be adequate. We may be prepared, equipped for every good work, the works of God. It doesn't say anything about there that the Word of God, Scripture, was written, that God breathed it, that so it would give us the joy of life that in our selfishness that we want. It doesn't say any of that. It says that in other places in the Word of God about those things, but here, his very doctrinal truth about the Word of God. God's truth makes the Christian adequate, equipped to live for the Lord. It also equips the leadership to teach the truth. Chapter 4, verse 1, listen to what he says. I, Paul, solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is the judge of the living and the dead, and the appearing, and by his appearing and his kingdom. Anyone that shepherds the church, preaches and teaches, here's Paul says, I charge you that the presence of God in Christ is there, and he's the judge of it all. And he stands and he watches and he sees. And he tells us, verse 2, preach the word. Not your ideas, not your opinions, not your thoughts, not your stories, not your idiosyncrasies, not your musings, not what you want to hear, but what God wants to say. Any pastor, any teacher, anybody stands in a pulpit, writes a book, anything like that, that's what God is watching, the one that is judging the living from the dead. And he sees all. It's a call for discernment. This isn't the game up here. This isn't about what I like, what I want you to hear, what I think is going to work. He will judge me whether I said this is what God said or not. That's the judgment. This is about you liking me, me liking you, about us getting what we want, about building a church. I'm surprised anybody comes here. Because we just go with the truth, and the truth just cuts it quick, right? The gospel is offensive. You guys know that. And that's what he's saying. This is what he's saying. We teach the truth. That's because the truth is the only thing that transforms. It's the only thing that changes anything. I don't consider you when I'm working through a message on what you want to hear. That's not that I don't love you and care about you, but that would make me adulterate the truth. I might consider you on how that might be heard by you and care about you. But look at verse 3 and 4, if you're there with me. He says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance with their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth, and will turn aside to myths. Can I tell you something? We are in a time of our nation that it's never been like before. The Christian church, evangelical church, is that, verse 3 and 4. I'm not going there unless you tell me what I want to hear. I'm not going to listen to you. I'm not going to listen to that teacher. I'm going to listen to this guy. I'm not going to listen to that guy. I'm going to find him. Man, social media, the internet and all that kind of stuff is very beneficial for information, that kind of stuff. But most of the information on all of that, if you are not spiritually discerning, you are getting false teaching. I don't have any question in saying that. It's not even close. It's all about you, all about satisfying you, all about prompting you up, all about you believing and wanting and desiring, and we got God, and we know God better, and we're just going to have this happy-go-lucky, great life on here, because we are going to connect with God, and we are going to get everything from God. It's not God. It's not. It's not even close. It's false teaching. And there's a time, and it's here now, that people won't endure what God has to really say. And they're going to find teachers that just give them their own desires, they're listening to myths. Verse 5. But you, I wrote my name in there. But Ken, be sober in all things, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. To fulfill your ministry, the main one is to proclaim what God has said and nothing else. We have to have spiritual discernment, what he said. The only way to discern truth from error is to know the truth. That's why you got to teach it. Turn your outline over. Turn your outline over. Let me ask you a question. I want you to write some things down. So why do we have to fight so hard for discernment? To be able to distinguish and discern. Why do we have to fight so hard? Some of us don't. We don't think it matters. Don't think, well, you know what? All right, just go on the internet and find out what is the answer to your issue of the things that you got growing on your arm. You're going to get 5 million different kind of things. You're going to get 8 million different kind of remedies. They're all trying to get money off of you. They're going to tell you, do this, do this, do this, buy this, buy that, buy that, buy that. And all it was is you just needed to wash it and put a little lotion on it. And you spend $100,000 later, and you still got these things on there, and you don't know what they are, and the doctor says, well, let's give you pharmaceuticals, man. Let's give you those. We'll prop that up. You'll be over here all, woo, pharmaceutical out, and all that kind of stuff. And all it was, you just need to wash stuff off, put some lotion on it. Why is it such a fight to have spiritual discernment? What would you guys say? What would you put down? Why do we have to fight for the ability to judge what is right, true, and noble, or the ability to judge what is wrong, false, or evil? What would you say? What hinders or obstructs you from spiritual discernment? As you write some things down, turn your Bibles to Genesis 3. Let's start at the beginning and get the richness of why we have to fight for spiritual discernment, because it's what Craig said, we're going to talk about what's in you. That's why you have to fight so hard. So as you write some things down, what is it with you? Is it the TV? Is it the things that go on? Is it your whatever it might be? Is it philosophically the things going on in the world? Is it traditions of men? We're going to get into a few of them, and then we're going to look at next week. So how do we become a discerning Christian with spiritual discernment? Good. But this is the biggest hindrance. This is the first one. This is the major one. This has been going on since the garden. It keeps going on. Will always go on. So you got to be able to have spiritual discernment. What is the obstacle for you having spiritual discernment? So I want to teach the first obstacle, Genesis 3, verses 1 through 7. You there with me? You got your Bibles open, pen ready? Write some things down. This can be helpful. It's going to encourage you. This is going to help you see why you don't have spiritual discernment, why you struggle with it. And you, if you'll deal with this, you'll be able to understand God's word truthfully. You'll see the truth more clearly. You'll be able to see the enemy and the faults and all of that more clearly. If you'll identify these things, that is the major hindrance, one of the biggest ones. Okay? Have I shared enough to make you feel good about let's do this? Most of them know the story of Satan's temptation in the garden. But let's pull it apart. Let's look at it. See why you have to fight for discernment. Look at verse chapter 3, verse 1 through 7. Now the serpent was more crafty than the beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, indeed, has God said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden. The woman said to the serpent, from the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat, but from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat from it or touch it, or you will die. The serpent said to the woman, you surely will not die. For God knows that in the day that you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to her eyes and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from it its fruit and ate. And she also gave to her husband, which he didn't think about nothing. He didn't even realize nothing. He just did what she told him to do. And he ate the fruit. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loin coverings. Sounds like us husbands, right? Sweetie, eat this, eat it, be quiet, shut up. It's good for you. Most of the time, my discernment is she's absolutely correct, and it's the thing I don't want to eat anyway, so it's a battle. Look at this with me. This is simple, but this is profound. This is going to help you. Now, the enemy of God said, eat what God's word to you said not to eat. For then you will be like God, knowing good and evil. I want you to think back, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 21, 22. God said, we're to have discernment. We are to discern what is the difference between good and evil. You examine everything, hold it up to the truth of God's word, hold fast to the good, the true, what God's word says. You abstain from every form of evil, every shape of it, everything is false. That's what we learned in 1 Thessalonians 5, 21 through 22. That's what it says. And here it says, the enemy came and said, hey, then you'll be got like God, knowing good from evil. She had no discernment, did she? She didn't judge good from evil. She didn't judge right from wrong, true from false. She just listened to something that told her something that she wanted to hear. She had no discernment. None at all. She didn't judge. She didn't examine. Hey, this serpent, this thing, this telling me this. God said that over there. In fact, I could even tell the serpent when God said. And then it said something else. And I had no spiritual discernment that God that created me, the God of the universe that walks with me, that talks with me, that's with me and Adam that loves me and gave us the garden, all the kind of things. And this thing over here, the snake, this evil Satan, the enemy of God, told me something that somehow I said, shine it, God. I'm going to listen to that. That's you. That's you and you and you and you and you and you and you. It's us. It's your humanity. It's your flesh. It's what you battle. It's what it is. It's us. God's showing us right there in the garden. That's us. God knew it. God knew who you are. He knew who you created to be. The only way you discern good and evil is God's truth, God's word. You don't do it on your own. You don't have the ability to do it on your own. You can't. do it on your own. You won't do it on your own. You'll believe whatever self-gratifies. You got to go to God. And God's, is this true or false? Is this good or bad? You got to go to God. You are dependent upon God. You can't do it without Him. How many of you in the room are autonomous and you think you've been doing all this good and right way on your own because you are wise? When's the last time you asked God, are we supposed to do this or do that? Are we supposed to be a part of that or this? What's your truth about this, that, and the other? Eve didn't discern the true from the false, good from evil. Someone else said, God said this. She didn't even go talk to Adam. She didn't go, hey, Adam, you know, this thing over here told me that, man, we could eat the fruit over there. What do you think? She didn't even ask. It's not in the text. Not a text that she asked. All on her own, autonomous. You know what? I'm going to have any discernment. I don't want discernment. I don't need discernment. After she ate the apple, she had no ability to discern. She was fallen, Romans 6. She became a slave to sin. She couldn't even discern anything that was the truth of God's word until you get saved. The world can't discern what God has said and what He hasn't said. They're a slave to sin. They can't discern any of it. So why didn't she use her spiritual discernment? What tricked her, deceived her, tempted her not to trust in the truth of God's word? What tricked her? Look at verse 6 again. Let's just bust through this real quick. Look at verse 6. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food. The word good there is not the word good that we use in 1 Thessalonians 5. It's tov in the Hebrew. It means to be in a state of having proper characteristics of performing an expected function. She saw the fruit, examined it, said, hey, I won't be hungry if I eat it. It's going to be good. Very simple, temporal, earthly. It's good. It's good for food. That makes it good. That makes it good to disobey God's word. Because I see it as good. I see it as an essential. I got to have it. I got to buy that car. I got to buy that house. Got to do that activity. Got to go to this place. Got to be on this vacation. Got to do these things because I discern them good. God wants me to have a good life. God wants these things in my life. And I don't ask God. I have no spiritual discernment. But my understanding of God is He wants me to have good. Am I hitting any hearts yet? You got no spiritual discernment. Because God didn't die on a cross to rescue you from your sin, bring you into the body of Christ, immerse you into a relationship with Him so you could have your good. Or you don't understand the gospel. You see, this is what we're battling. This is what we're fighting. This is the world. And of course, Satan and his enemies in the church preach Christ came to give you your good. I could preach that and there'd be 1,000 people in here. But it's not God. It's not about how many people are in here. It's about truth, right? Amen? Come on, guys. It's right here in the language. It's right here in the Hebrew. He examined it. Hey, it's good for food. You can eat it. And whatever we can eat is good for food. I'm kind of hungry. I want it. That was her discernment. No spiritual discernment at all. To judge what is right and wrong in God's truth. What is true or false from God's word. She knew what God had said. You'll eat it and you'll die. The enemy said, no, you won't. He said, oh, but it's good for food, so I'm going to do it. The Bible says in Galatians 6, verse 7 and 8, don't be deceived. God's not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to the flesh will reap from the flesh corruption. How many of us have listened to the enemy and God said, no, you won't? And embrace things in your life. Choose them. Believe them. For they are simply good for you to have, to do, to believe. It satisfies you. Why didn't Eve use spiritual discernment? Examine what was taught falsely about what God has said. Let's work through it quickly. Hold it up to the light of God's word, the truth of God's word. She was told it. She could have said, she even told him, God's word said this. And when I held it, no, I don't hold it up. I don't even. Why? Look at verse 6 again. And that it was a delight to her eyes. She saw it was tree was good for food, and it was a delight to her eyes. Let's just take the words from the original language from Hebrews. She had simple discernment, not spiritual discernment. It was a delight to her eyes. Delight, tava'ava, in the Hebrew means a craving, a longing to want something for the pleasure it brings. Lust in the New Testament. Hey, wait a minute. She doesn't have a fallen nature. Oh, wait a minute. Humanity has cravings, longings, lust in their creation. Well, there you go. There's a doctrine I could spend months on teaching you. That's what the word says. There's the beginning of the attack against you having spiritual discernment. You see things, they're the light to your eyes. They're a craving, a longing, something you want for pleasure, lust. In the New Testament, Proverbs 18:1 says, he who separates himself, that means separates himself from the truth, seeks his own desires, he quarrels against sound wisdom. And it didn't stop there. Look at the verse again. It was a delight to our eyes, and the tree was desirable to make one wise, eating the fruit. Desirable, kawa in the Hebrew. In the verb form, it means to be desired. She saw the eating of the fruit of the tree was to be desired. Wow. Wow. God said, don't eat it. I'm going to kill you. And in her heart and mind, she saw the eating of the fruit as to be desired. That's what you have to battle. That's why you struggle with spiritual discernment. Because that's all of us. That's who we are. I'm just being real. Wow. It's right to be desired. It's noble. It's true. It's 1 Thessalonians 5:21. It's good. Even though God said don't do it. That's her heart. That's yours. That's mine. In our new life, being born again, we have to deal with us. She said, this is what I'm going to hold fast to, wholeheartedly embrace. It's good. I'm going to eat the fruit. It's to be desired. It will fulfill the longing and craving she has. You get, this is most of the false teaching that's taught in our nation today in the Christian church. You guys get this, right? They come in droves. Because all humanity's flesh wants to be craves and longs to be fulfilled. It's to be desired to make one wise. There you go, Hebrew word, to make one wise. One word in the Greek, kal, in the Hebrew, not Greek. It's an infinitive construct. That means it's the purpose, or toward the purpose, or for the purpose of. So it's to be desired to eat it for the purpose of, so I will have insight and wisdom. She saw the fruit of the tree, listened to the false teaching, believed it, desired to eat it, to get the insight and wisdom on how I can fulfill and the delight in my eyes to fulfill the craving of what I lust for. I'm going to eat it. It's going to give me the insight and the wisdom and to fulfill the cravings that I have to fulfill my lusts. I'm not even going to tell Adam or ask him. I'm going to just say, here, eat it. Isn't this good? This is me and you. This is us in our new life in Christ. This is born again, saved, new life. We have discernment in the Word of God. It's God, but you have to fight the flesh. You have to fight the old man. No spiritual discernment is how, if that's how you see what life is about as a Christian, what I just described, fulfilled desires, you won't have any discernment at all. Listen to James 1:14 and 15. Listen to what the Bible says. But each one is tempted when he's carried away by enticed by his own lust. That's believers. That's you. That's Pastor Tom, Pastor Ken, Pastor Craig. That's every believer, no matter how mature they are. You are tempted when you are carried away, enticed by your own lust. And when lust has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. Listen, even though you have new life, your old self, the flesh is strong and craves the longings and desires, and to have the insight in how am I going to live this life to be fulfill it. Colossians 3:5 says, therefore consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desires, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. We're supposed to consider in our new life, think about these things that are in my old self, in my old nature, in my old life, that wants to do immorality, impurity, passion, evil desires, greed, idolatry. I need to consider them, that I'm not going to give them any light. They're dead. Listen, the way of the world, its message, and the message of the Father of lies speaks to your flesh. Like Jesus said in John 8:44, the Father of lies, you don't hear my words because you're not of me. You only hear the Father of lies. Let me tell you something right now. Your old self, your flesh, Satan speaks to and entices you. The world speaks to and entices you. You, God speaks to. Your new inner man, your new life in Christ, God speaks to. Plus, you hear what the enemy is saying to your flesh. If you don't have spiritual discernment, which one you're listening to? Your life's going to get railroaded. And you only have the Word of God to have discernment on which one to listen to. Those that are unsaved only listen to the Father of lies. And he lies all the time. And he tells them they don't have any discernment and ability to hear anything. You do. But God does not speak to your flesh. Remember Darth Vader, guys? That's strapped to you. You're incarcerated in your flesh. It's on your back. It wants to go that way. God speaks to you and says, this is the way. This is the way. Your flesh is being listened to the world, to self-gratification, to the way of the world and all that. Say, no, I want to go this way. I want to go this way. If you don't have spiritual discernment from the true word of God on what God says your life is to be about, what you're to have, what you're embrace, the way it's going to go, that guy is going to make some major decisions in your life. That's why it's so hard to discern and fight for it. Christ didn't die for that. He separated you from that. That's going to stay here. My new life in Christ is going to go be with Him for eternity with a new body. Amen? We'll look at more next week. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this morning and the encouragement You are to us by the truth of Your Word. We just touched spiritual discernment lightly, you know that, Lord, but profoundly in some very rich and deep ways into our life. And Lord, each of us in the room, we want to discern what Your truth preached and taught means to us. What are You saying to us, Lord? What are You revealing to us? Are we going to reject it? Or are we going to listen to it? Or are we going to say, oh, it's an opinion and we can all have a bunch of opinions? If that's people's heart, Lord, I pray that You would show them God's truth is not an opinion. It's a reality. It's definitive. It's direct. It's authoritative. It's effective. It's infallible. It's inerrant. It's discerning. It's distinguishing. It is what You says it, You say it is. Not what I say it is, what other people, it's what You say it is. Help us to desire to want it with every part of our being to know the truth, for the truth will set us free. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Have a great day, you guys.